as long as stars are above you. Longer if I can. How long will I need you? As long as the seasons meet to.
Live from the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac. I'm back from the honeymoon.
How long will you love her?
Forever and a day.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Oh, is that the song?
Well, yeah, it's appropriate.
It's ironic because we didn't know you were going to be on the show today. We thought you weren't coming back. Well, I didn't know when you were coming back.
I didn't know either.
But it's appropriate, you know, so it's awesome.
Wow, this is good. So I'm a little tired.
Yes.
Yes, understandable.
I bet. Yeah, yes. It was your honeymoon. Wow.
Yes, a little tired, and it was interesting. I flew back from Florida last night, and... poor Greg had picked us up about 11:30 at night.
Yes, no, absolutely.
What do you
exciting.
Think of that?
Yes, it was very exciting.
Exciting. Yeah, so, Eric, part. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you now that you're married?
Do I look married?
You don't look any different to me.
Really? Look, I got a ring here.
Wow.
And a look ring on my neck. That's no, the, I mean a ring on difference. My finger. See?
And where's the ball and chain?
Yes, I left it at home.
Oh.
So... but no, it was a great time. I did have a great time, though. It was very, very cool. Eric, have you been on a cruise before?
Yes, I have.
You have? Did you like it?
It was fun, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of good shows. We saw an illusionist. He made me disappear for 13 hours.
Wow.
I didn't know where I was. But
it was a request from everyone on the
yeah,
ship. They were like, let's get this guy. It was sort of like when Jason took Manhattan when he got on that ship and, you know, they were running from him.
Yeah.
Running from Dave Isaac. On
yes.
Wow. Well, you know, he showed us these photos, these beautiful photos. And I said, watch out, Leonardo DiCaprio. He's there on the ship. He looks gangsta.
What's that? He's from The Departed.
I had a tuxedo on. Can you believe it, Eric? I wore a tuxedo.
Yeah, I can believe that. Why wouldn't I believe that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. And I went to Bahamas, Aruba, another island by Aruba. I forgot what it's called. We'll have to look it up. Colombia, Panama Canal, and Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Very good.
Colombia was interesting. They're very...
It's like
in the middle of a car salesman swap meet.
So you got down there, and you said, like, Pablo Escobar walked right up to you. And
they all – have you been to Colombia, Eric?
I have not.
But they all, like, sell stuff. Like,
sounds like a scary place.
Yeah, they were selling stuff, and they some guy put a hat on me. He goes, come on, buy it. You're wearing it. Buy it.
The hat was made out of hemp.
So I just walked, and I said, thanks for the shade. Oh, hemp? No.
Yeah, there wasn't any snow on the ground?
No, I lit a fire on the hemp.
Okay, there you go.
And it was very high altitude. Okay, so, yeah, that was interesting, but Costa Rica was nice. I would recommend it. I like that part.
Yeah.
And the Bahamas was the best.
Yeah.
It's very clear water. Eric, have you been to the Bahamas?
I have not.
I would recommend it.
You scuba'd?
No, I didn't scuba, but I swam in the ocean because very clear. I could see my feet.
So and, if any sharks swam up, you had to, we'd have
yeah,
to notice.
But in Aruba, which was sort of cool, until I think I got attacked by little micro jellyfish because I got this huge rash on both feet and my legs after going into the water. So don't drink the water.
Wow.
No, and someone said it's probably micro... jellyfish that attacked me.
Or something worse.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Now, speaking of attacking you, tell me about the...
honeymoon.
Well, no, we can talk about that, too.
Is that what he's getting at, Eric?
Well, not everything that went down.
Are you willing to talk about the honeymoon?
Wow. Okay.
Well, at first I was going to say the wedding. Did you have a lot of family members there?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Had some good family members.
Any fights?
No fights. Was there fights, Greg? No.
No, not that I could remember.
No, it was actually pretty good.
No, only two times the fights were
called. No, it was very cool. Went off really nice. The bride was late by
Well, should I say that?
Yeah, she was, like, 45 minutes. No, I think it was more 15.
Ooh, cold feet.
No, I think it was 45.
Cold feet.
But I wasn't nervous. I didn't think it was a runaway bride. Remember the movie?
Yeah.
Because in walked Julia Roberts as the runaway bride and said, your bride will be here. And she's just substituting for, you know, a night or two.
Oh, nice. Well, I was just curious, you know.
Roxy.
Yeah. I was just curious, like the Isaacs, they're not like an angry clan when they get together for holidays and stuff like that?
No, no.
They're all like myself and Dave.
Oh, just laid back, wearing hemp hats?
No.
Fairly.
Personality plus.
Yeah. Oh.
Sort of.
Well, then the honeymoon, what you can say on the air.
Yeah.
Or what we want to hear. That's
because, well, later on, our Dave's Random Enlightenment is all about your
honeymoon.
And your marriage.
Is that the reporter that followed us?
Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering. Everywhere we went, he was.
Yeah.
But
you had a nice time, though, on your honeymoon.
It was really good. The cruise was great. 11 nights, actually. And I didn't really get seasick. At one time, it was a little choppy, and I thought I was getting seasick.
Yeah.
You got seasick on It's a Small World.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You gotta be
and
big,
it was a coincidence. It was a
That's
small
why
world.
I was shocked. Like, how's he
But we
on
met a
cruise?
Lot of people, and that was fun, and the shows were good. They had some pretty... The food's usually pretty good, and you could order...
Yeah, that's the best part about a cruise is it's like nonstop food.
And let's not talk about food today.
Yeah, last week we were hungry the whole show. We were talking about turkeys, turkey farming.
Because I didn't bring anything. I made this nice teriyaki salmon last night. I have all this left over. But you know what? I didn't get a chance to bring it.
Oh,
we have another show to do after this.
Oh, and Eric's always in there eating, chomping away.
And I can't do fast food. Yeah.
Wow.
So I won't be eating again. Well, I have a little bar. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, it's
Mason
gone too?
Took it. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, he has a bar.
I got a little strawberry cereal organic bar thingy.
Oh, thanks. You gave it to me. Oh, he took it
here
back.
Here we go now.
But no, the cruise was great. A big ship, about 1,700 passengers, about 900 crew members,
nice.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
The room was great. Although we heard horror stories of one guy had a signature suite and the pipe burst and it flooded. And he wasn't happy. And another one said she was...
water
everywhere.
It wasn't the like sewage line.
No. But it was horrible, he said. And let's see. No pirates. I didn't see any pirates. I was on the lookout for pirates after seeing
Somali
Captain
pirates,
Phillips.
Yeah,
I didn't see any of those.
And no Johnny Depp either.
No Johnny Depp, no. And a good comedian, impressionist of a singer was good, and the illusionist was really good. Oh, they had a steel drum band. Ever see that? That was fantastic. Ever see that stuff?
Never.
Eric, have you seen it?
Yes.
It's good, right?
I don't know. It's a little on the annoying side.
It could be, after a while. It's
maybe kind of layered into a song, but not just nothing but that.
Wow, that's all they had. It was pretty cool, though. I liked it. And the captain was cool. He wasn't like the Italian captain that crashed the ship. He seemed alert.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't want to turn the ship on its side.
Well, he knew who was on board.
Yeah, exactly.
You introduced
Ron
yourself.
Jeremy. And Ron Jeremy was on board.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a double take when we saw each other.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So he had a camera with him. So I'll be on TV at a movie or theater near you.
Oh,
okay.
Not a theater
every Saturday
that any of us
night,
go to.
Noon. Okay.
Straight to DVD.
Yes. Right to DVD. But other than that, it was good. I recommend all you guys. Eric, you said you've been on a cruise? No. Not yet.
Yes, I
have. So you would recommend it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just make sure you get a quality, reputable company.
Yeah, no, not the Italian company that fell on its side.
Well, that was captain error. The ship was probably sound until he ran it up on the rocks.
Yeah, that was the problem, probably. But Holland America, I'd say pretty good. That's when we went on. There's, I think they're owned by the same company as, like, Princess Carnival. Seabourn is a very expensive one, so you might, if you like to drink, you can go on Seabourn because it's all-inclusive, one price, drink all you want.
Wow.
Very nice.
I don't drink, so, you know.
Well, speaking of drinking,
so why pay for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Why'd you do that?
Why do I don't drink?
Well, why would you pay for it?
If you
exactly.
You wouldn't want to take that.
Yeah.
You wasted
money. My brother did, remember? He went.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't even know what you're talking
Older
about.
Older brother Jeff went on Seabourn.
Who is that?
I have no idea.
His uncle. He has no idea who his uncle is.
Like, just like they didn't know who Frozen was for a year.
Oh, yeah. Yes. How is Frozen?
He's doing really well, yeah.
Is his nickname Daiquiri?
No.
Frozen Daiquiri?
Well, you know, I was going to say, speaking of Frozen Daiquiri and drinking, I went to a bar crawl last Saturday.
What's a bar crawl?
I think I didn't see you, Eric. You
get
were on
so
no.
drunk, you end up crawling.
Yes. Oh, a bar crawl. Yeah, you got drunk?
I didn't, no, because I don't drink.
Oh, did Frozen
either.
Drink?
But why would you go to a bar crawl? No, Frozen didn't go. But it was a Halloween, post-Halloween costume bar crawl.
And what'd you go as, a crawl?
It was, and that's why I had the red boots on last week. But I went as Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother. Mm-hmm. And remember last week I was telling you guys...
You're my daddy?
Again? Last week I was telling
Who's
you guys that at the other party, nobody knew, you know, who I was.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. Everyone was yelling, "Hey, Ted Mosby!" And
who is Ted Mosby? I don't know that one.
From the TV show How I Met Your Mother. Greatest TV show on right now.
Oh, I thought Married with Children. Hey, we almost got on the Married game.
Oh.
But we didn't get picked.
Aw.
See, usually they pick the newest newlyweds and then the oldest and then in between. So there are three. Who got married the last 25 days? We stood up and we were tied with someone else on the earliest, but they didn't choose by that. We had to play out a skit in front of hundreds of people.
Oh, and you didn't do that well?
We came in. I thought we came in first, but... the couple number three got eliminated. It was between us and couple number one. And it was a Tarzan Jane skit.
Oh.
And I guess they you know.
Give us your best Tarzan sound.
Yeah, well, I didn't go for the sound.
Oh, okay.
I just, they had Jane said, Tarzan, you're my man. Can you, or something like that. And you're supposed to beat your chest. That was my part.
Oh.
And I decided to ad lib. So I said, "I'm an older Tarzan," because you're supposed to pick up the bride.
Well, that's why you lost.
Yes.
But I said, "I'm an older Tarzan." So we danced out into the middle, and we got a round of applause.
Oh, well.
So I thought we won.
Stick to the script, Dave.
Yeah, yes. I didn't know how to do that. I don't know how you beat your chest. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Beat your chest. Harry beat his chest.
Why would you beat his chest?
Or the treasure chest?
Well, No one's beating anyone's chest.
Nobody's going to beat anyone's here. Body parts.
Oh yeah.
I was hanging out with at the bar crawl. I was hanging out. That's me.
Oh.
And with Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, very good.
And midlife crisis, Justin Bieber.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
And all night, Justin Bieber was trying to hit on the other ladies, the college ladies.
Who is this lady?
That's Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan, yeah.
Wow, she
got her
different.
Orange suit on.
There's Dennis Quaid, too, her daddy.
Yeah. But,
wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a lot of fun. And like I said, Justin Bieber was hitting on all the ladies, and he kept asking the ladies, you know, "Hey, do you know who I am?" And finally one girl says, "Some weird guy."
Wow.
And then there was some cursing and stuff like that. But it was very fun to hang out with Justin Bieber. And, and like I said, people knew who I was. And
really? From the show?
Yeah. They knew my costume. Well, no, from my costume.
Not from the show?
No.
Why? Don't you give autographs?
I do, but they don't want them. They say, "Why are you writing this down?"
Unless it's on a check.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But, you know, I went out of my comfort zone. I'm usually pretty quiet and shy. Like I said, I don't drink, but I rode a mechanical bull.
Oh, very good.
I was thrown off the mechanical bull.
Fantastic.
Which was, you know.
Not that you were thrown off.
Yes.
But, I
had to be convinced to go on there. And then also, I was also playing pool. I'd never played pool before. I played pool with my yellow umbrella.
You've never played pool?
A game of pool before?
No.
Not one game of pool.
Did you grow up very sheltered?
Yes, probably.
Wow!
Well,
I even played pool.
If you don't go into bars, then why would you play pool? Really?
So how did you do?
I did terribly, terribly. But I did get some action. I was
action.
I was
really?
Violated.
Were you on a honeymoon?
While I was bent over trying
what?
To hit the yeah.
What?
Some girl came up behind me and I had no
goosed
idea.
You.
Yeah, she did.
What'd she do?
You've never been goosed before either, huh?
No. Well, I don't know if it was goosed. She did something else. Inappropriate to say on the air, but
really,
yes, I was. I missed my shot, obviously. I would have missed it anyway, but
oh, I'm sorry.
Wow,
you're not accurate.
Interesting work, wow,
yeah, but anyway, it was a lot of fun, and yeah, so a lot more to more fun to come.
I bet. So, okay.
But anyway, all right, so that song, let's kick off the show on that note. That song, of course, was from About Time, the new movie that we're going to be really talking all about today, and we're going to be doing some time travel movies.
Yes.
A lot of fun, and we're talking about those throughout the show. But that is the title song, or the main song from About Time. It's How Long Would I Love You? And
what? I don't know. Is that,
you don't know?
I don't know. What do you think, Greg?
You know, it's How Long Will I Love You by John Bowden, Sam Sweeney, and Ben Coleman. Really beautiful song.
And I said forever and a day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in how about if you've got time travel stuff, then you really have to work on
it. Oh, then it's
gets
eternal.
Confusing. Right.
Eternal. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so About Time. Are you a fan of Richard Curtis's
yes.
movies?
Who?
Richard Curtis, the director of this.
Notting Hill.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. Love Actually.
Love that.
Pirate Radio.
Didn't see it, but the other two were great. Eric, did you see them?
I saw Pirate Radio.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie.
And Four Weddings and a Funeral as well.
Yeah, I love those movies. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool.
Yeah, so then maybe,
this looked like a good movie, quite honestly.
Yeah, Donald Gleason plays a man who, at the age of 21, discovers that he can travel in time and change what happens and has happened in his own life. His decision to make his world a better place by getting a girlfriend, played by Rachel McAdams, turns out not to be as easy as you might think. It's a really positive, uplifting, and sincere movie. I love this movie. It's a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful movie. You know, my one qualm with this movie is the marketing. You know, on the one hand, they're like the poster looks a lot like it would be a Notebook type movie.
Right.
Like it's a romantic dramedy type thing.
I love the Notebook, though.
I love the Notebook as well.
Yeah.
But this isn't really, you know, it starts off as a romance. It goes into just a life story. It's less a romantic movie. It's very romantic at the beginning, but then it transitions into something that's just more about life and more about how we live our life, and which is what we're going to talk about here in a moment with our theme. But and then also the other thing that I have a problem with is the commercials for this movie. They are playing Christmas music and talking about Love Actually and stuff. There's nothing about Christmas in this movie.
Right.
Oh.
Right. So it's just one of those things, you know, I have a hard time with, you know, I don't want people to go in thinking that they're going to watch a Christmas movie or a romantic movie.
And it's not.
Right. But it is still a very good movie. It's still a very big thumbs up for this movie. You know, it encourages viewers to live each and every day life of their life, appreciating little victories and free from the rampant worries that will not change anything anyway. And it also, you know, I don't usually like these science fiction type movies. This is one of the rare time travel movies that I think is actually really, really good.
Excellent.
Wow. Yeah, you don't have to be a science fiction fan to love this movie. And, you know, there's some logical inconsistencies and some, you know, like I said, if you're looking for a romantic movie, you might be kind of disappointed. I kind of was because I was really wanting to fall in love with the story. But it's just more about life. But, you know, he certainly knows how to, Richard Curtis certainly knows how to be the perfect puppeteer of our emotions. You will laugh, you will cry, you will love this movie. So go see About Time.
Wow. Yep. It looked very good, the trailer.
Yeah. And the theme here is it possible to live life free from worries about your future and anxieties about your past? What's the key to that, Dave? I know we've talked about this before.
Right before I get to the key, from the trailer, I like two comments they made. Mm-hmm. Use it, meaning time travel, to make your life the way you want it.
Yes.
I love that theme, and it doesn't have to do just with time travel. Use whatever you can to make the life you want, and live each day like it was your final day. And they made those two comments. I picked up on that. I really liked it, which really blends in nicely with the theme, because it is possible to live life free from worries about your future and anxieties about your past. I mean, it's all about what you focus on and how you focus. Two keywords, what and how. For example, if you focus on positive aspects about your life, then your attention is on good feelings usually. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. People don't realize they have that choice. However, that's not enough. One must look at the worrisome part of life and reframe what else could those things mean that gives you the most empowerment. And this is the how of thinking. So if you lost your job, for example, you could focus on the loss, or you could focus on how the next job can be something that's much greater, giving you an opportunity that you may never have had if you hadn't lost a job. It makes empowerment after, you know, after what appears to be a loss. So I always look for the most empowering part of any situation. If you can do that, your life will tend to improve. And the key to life is to reach your full potential.
Very true. And, you know, here's the way that Richard Curtis came up with the theme and plot for this movie is he asked himself, if he only had 24 hours left to live, what would he do? So let me ask you guys that. If the doctor came back and said, you've got 24 hours, what would you do? Let's start with you, Greg.
I would do time travel and go back a couple, well, yeah, 48 too, but, hours. How about you, Eric?
Why stop at 48?
Yeah, that's right. Go way, way back.
I think that I know what your answer would be.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
Go to a hockey game.
You go to a hockey game?
I have no idea.
You don't know
I
who
do.
You'd spend it with or anything like
well,
that?
Well, I know who I'd spend it with.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just trying to find something funny to do. Well, there's stuff I would go back and do, you know, but I can't say on the air.
Well, here.
Oh,
if I'm being
blah,
serious.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, if you're being serious.
If I'm being serious, of course, saying, you know, obviously, I would go do whatever I can to get away from Dave. And, no, me and little Mason, well, do what we normally do. But
there you go. That's the key. All, yeah. That is exactly what Richard Curtis came to this conclusion, that you would just spend it with your loved ones. You would do your normal routine. You'd
is
be
this
at
a
home.
Spoiler alert.
No, it's not, no, but it just ties into the theme that think about the things that really matter. Is it really, you know, are you going to want to go and travel in 24 hours? No, you're going to want to be with your loved ones, and that's...
That makes sense.
Right, and, you know, just normal routine. So, then why always seek for these big, grand adventures? Be happy in your own home.
Perfect. That's a great message, actually. Yeah. And in fact, maybe reframe it differently, because a lot of people, if they ask that question, if a doctor said that, you may question the doctor's ability to diagnose, first of all, and see what you could do to extend that 24-hour to some indefinite time frame. But what if there was a thing, what was it called? I always say it wrong, the movie Melancholia. It wasn't
Melancholia?
Yeah.
Something, yeah.
Where the moon actually crashed into the Earth, and you knew that's probably something you can't stop.
Right.
Everyone's a goner. If you knew in 24 hours there was a moon flying into the Earth and it would completely destroy everything, what would you do then? And the end of that movie, is that, can I say the end of that movie?
Go ahead, it's older and no.
Well, they all spend
even.
Time
and, you know,
together.
After 10 minutes of watching it, you fall asleep anyway.
Yeah, it was a weird movie, but they all were together.
Yes.
You know, the two friends and the little daughter. So you're right. I think that is the key. And if a situation like that occurred, what else would you want to do? Everything would be meaningless. So pare it down to its basic component about life. Do the normal things.
I'd say I'm out of here. I'm going home. And I'm going to spend my last 24 hours with Frozen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What would Frozen do, though?
I'd cook him and eat him.
Why would you? Oh, whatever. All right.
You'd have to thaw. What do you call them? Thaw?
Have
you
ever eaten delicious food right now?
Can you say thaw, frozen? That's hard to say. Thaw, frozen. Say that three times.
Thaw, frozen, thaw, frozen, thaw, frozen.
Well, you're good. But you're a radio guy. That's why.
Wow.
So have you ever have you ever tasted duck?
I believe I did long time ago. I will never again, though. I did take a picture. I was in a grocery store the
Peking
other day.
Duck?
And I took a picture of the duck, because they have them all out for Thanksgiving and stuff.
Turducken.
Yeah, turducken. All right.
Oh, they call it duckling in Hong Kong or something.
Yeah.
Peking duck.
Trust me, my friend
from
China,
ever have
Danny,
duck
reminds me. Yeah, and duck beak. No, I haven't had this stuff, but I know people eat these things. Right. Well, anyway, the song that's going to take us into our break is from Hot Tub Time Machine. It's Jessie's Girl, sung by Craig Robinson. And I am sure that you've seen this movie. You love this movie, right, Greg?
Absolutely.
John Cusack plays a man who, with his two friends, Rob Corddry and Craig Robinson, is sent back in time to 1986, where he must relive a fateful night and not change anything to make sure his nephew, Clark Duke, is born. It's very funny, and, you know, check it out. They're making the sequel, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And so he had a huge role in that.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that movie, too. That was pretty good. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, live 1480 AM Studios, KPHX. I'm back from the honeymoon. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. penalty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live here at 1480 AM Studios KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac. Do I look any different after the honeymoon?
Just your fingers a little bit heavier there.
Oh, yeah. Look.
Yeah. Wow. There.
You gain a couple pounds, I'd say.
Well, the food, you know.
Yeah, what can, food.
What can you say, right?
Maybe 15 pounds.
When you
pounds.
Order three dinners, you know, two steaks and lobster.
Midnight buffet.
Yeah. They have food everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You it was incredible.
You really do have to talk about food right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's eating.
Oh, yeah.
You get
he's
your
starving.
Bar. Well,
anyway, so there it is. But I worked it off. Okay. So here we go.
Yeah. Well, of course, that song was All the Small Things by Blink 182 from the movie Clockstoppers. Have you seen that one, Greg?
I haven't, but I remember hearing about it. The dude from Swim Fan.
Yes. Jesse Bradford plays a teenager who accidentally activates a machine that enables him to speed up his body so that other people seem to be standing still. French Stewart also stars. I remember this movie was amazing, the way that it was, you know, just stop things and you got to see the rain, and it was just like really cool special effects.
There was a Star Trek thing where Spock sped up or something and everyone looked in slow motion. Ever see that, Eric?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going that fast? Everyone looks like statues.
No.
Oh.
I don't know. I would like to, though. It'd be really cool. But that's why we have movies.
Yeah. It was very cool. Very cool stuff.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we have on our first guest of the day. And, you know, first let me tell you a little bit about the show that she's on. She's on Cracked. It follows a team of teams of cops and psychiatric professionals who make up the Psych Crimes and Crisis Unit. We have on actress Luisa de Oliveira. She plays Detective Poppy Wisniewski. It airs Fridays on Reels. Thank you so much for joining us, Luisa.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
And did we say your last name right?
No way! You totally butchered it. Which is fine.
You mean you, Joseph?
Let's all try.
Oliveira. There's capital letters in weird places and apostrophes. It's very confusing.
So it's De Oliveira.
D'Oliveira.
Oh, D'Oliveira. Oh, that's really cool. Nice name.
Thank you. I'm sure at some point in history it sounded different. I think it just sort of became easier and easier as time went on, so people could pronounce it. And now it just confuses everyone because it's spelled differently than it sounds.
Now, you are from Calgary, right?
No, Vancouver.
Vancouver, I'm sorry. And is that
how
a name?
How could you do that, Joe?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And if
all
you're a hockey fan, they really could get mad.
Well, is this a name like from Vancouver then? Is that the genesis?
No, my family, that name actually came originally from Macau in China, which originally came from Portugal. So my, like, the lineage of my family, if you go back generations, has been kind of all over the world. I'm a really big mix of ethnicities. A lot of people in Vancouver are. We're kind of a big, just like a ethnic pot there, nice. Which is what I am.
Excellent. Okay. Well, you know, tell us a little bit about Cracked. I know it's not airing, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not airing right now in the U.S., but we're expecting season two soon, right?
I believe so. I know it was on Reels, but I feel like it might have finished now. I haven't been able to see it on Reels. I've been watching it up in Canada.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, our season two is airing up here in Canada, and I'm hoping soon that it's going to be airing on Reels in the States.
Excellent, excellent. And so you play, are you one of the cops, detectives?
Yeah, I'm one of the detectives. I play Poppy Wisniewski. She's the youngest person on the team. She was brought into this unit because her inspector believes that she has a lot of good qualities to be a cop, but being in this unit will help give her a lot of kind of the empathy and more understanding and connection to people that she needs to really get better at her job and develop into a good police officer. So she brings a sense of kind of the true blue cop mentality, and her viewpoint is very much like sort of the standard way that you need to deal with crimes and criminals, and things are black and white, and is a bit of a learning curve for her because nothing is black and white with these cases, and on the show everything's gray.
So it's a crime procedural, right? Is that how you would describe it?
I guess I would describe it, yeah, as a crime procedural. There's elements, obviously mental illness takes a very large forefront in the show, but yeah, crime procedural.
Oh, okay. And what is one of the, from the first two seasons, what is one of the more higher profile crimes, one of the more surprising crimes that you guys tackled?
There were two episodes I can think of. For me personally, in the first season, episode 5, we had a case where there was a man who had a schizophrenic break and violently attacked and murdered this young man. And was in hospital for many years, but now is in the process of being released because he is back on his meds, and they're saying he hasn't had any violent outbursts since. It was just a one-time thing. And so that, for me, it seemed like that brought up a lot of controversial issues and viewpoints because people have very differing opinions on how cases like that should be handled and whether once something like that has happened, you can trust a person who is sick. And whether, like, well, it just brings up a lot of issues, and it's a lot of discussion that we need to be continuously having. So that was one of the episodes that sort of had a kind of a spotlight on a serious issue. And another one was this season, the second season. The episode that just aired has actually been getting quite a lot of buzz and feedback about it because it was centered around a serial killer who was kidnapping and attacking women, predominantly Native American women. And we've had a couple instances in Canada, especially in BC, where I'm from, with some very serious serial kidnappings and killings and predominantly with those women. And So that touched on some pretty serious, heavy stuff.
Wow. That, when you play parts like that, do you ever lose a sense of reality? I mean, I know as an actor, you know, actors really get into the role. I mean, how do you get into a role with that type of situation?
There's a lot of research. I mean, because being a police officer, I feel like it's such a guarded community. It's really hard to kind of get into. Like, they trust each other, and there isn't really articles and handbooks on what it's like to be a police officer. So you really have to kind of dig. But definitely, just paying attention to people is probably one of the biggest things. I started walking. I mean, we shoot in Toronto, and I started walking around Toronto when we started shooting the show. And just paying attention to people, and I started observing and seeing if I was an officer and I was, say, a beat cop, and I was looking for anything out of the ordinary or someone that might be a danger, what would I be looking for? And I just tried to observe, and it's an amazing the shift that happens in your mind when you stop, when you completely forget about you, and you just start watching everything around you. Something different happens in your body. It was really interesting. So that was one of the first things I did. And then obviously quite a lot of research and talking to different detectives and officers. And the co-creator of the show is currently with the Emergency Task Force in Toronto, which is equivalent of SWAT in the States. So, and he's done a bunch of other jobs as well within the police force. So he had some pretty interesting insight as well.
Now, you, you know, growing up, evidently, I was reading that you did a lot of performances in plays, musicals, choir, even speech competitions. But when you got to college, I was reading that you went into biology and chemistry. What prompted the shift?
Yeah, well, I've always really liked the sciences, and I kind of got a gentle nudge in that direction from my family and... I don't know, but it wasn't just that. I truly, truly, really enjoyed the structure of science. And I tried it. I wanted to give it a genuine shot. And I did a year of science, and I knew at that, after that year, I knew that the amount of time it would take to put into that, to gaining the knowledge I needed to get to the point where I was able to be creative with it, because I truly, at the end of the day, just wanted to be creative with it. Like, you have to get into research. You have to spend so much time in school, and I just didn't think that all that time would be fulfilling enough, and I wanted to do it now, and I didn't think it would be fulfilling, so I tried other things for a year, and then I went back to acting, but it was, I just have quite a lot of interest as a person, and that sort of was a year or two that I spent dabbling in other things. Luckily, there are these amazing things called colleges and universities where you can go and spend lots of money, and I'm doing this, now I'm doing that, and then you can segue back into whatever you want to do. So it's a good place to play.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, and our listeners might know you from some other TV shows. So you were on Supernatural, you were on Psych, The Good Wife, and Hellcats, one of my favorites, and The Secret Circle. And you were also in the film 50-50. We featured that recently on our Joseph Gordon-Levitt show. Remind us who you were in that film.
I had a tiny role in that film. I think they just really liked me in the audition, so they found a tiny little role for me with one line that ended up being cut out. So I was basically just a glorified extra in that film.
Oh, okay.
But I got to work with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen for the day, so that was pretty cool. They're cool dudes.
Nice, nice. And, you know, I'm really, really, really looking forward to your next film, Endangered, with Piper Perabo and James Marsden. It's, as I understand, a bear. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, that one is, it's about these two brothers that are estranged and have had quite a lot of family issues in their past, and they are reunited under kind of unexpected circumstances back in their small hometown in Alaska, and as they're reunited, they're finding out there's these killings that have been happening around their town in the forest, and it turns out that there's a bear, which this happens, like a bear will have killed a human and then has the taste of human in their mouth, and they will, after that moment, they have to be put down because they will hunt humans after that. Oh. So that's what happens with this bear. It's a particularly vicious one, and it started hunting humans, and it's quite a threat. So through all sorts of circumstances, they end up out in the woods, and one thing leads to another, and it's going to be really exciting. I haven't seen anything in a while since I was in the studio doing a bit of work back earlier this year, so I really can't wait to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I love movies like that, and again, that's called Endangered, and I believe that we'd love to have you on again when that comes out. I don't know when, but we're definitely, that's on our radar.
And we can all talk about the bear and how awesome he looks, because they had a real bear on set. I didn't get to see it. But, I mean, that's pretty scary when you're working with a real bear. And it's the kind of standards where, like, if there, you can't have food around the bear. You can't. There are certain things you absolutely cannot do. Even though it's a trained bear and has been trained its entire life, it still has incredibly strong instincts. So you have to be so careful around these animals. And this is not a little house cat. Like, this is a bear. This bear could kill you with
a
one
big bear.
Of his, yes, a big bear. So no room for error.
Excellent. Okay, well, I'm going to give this another shot. Luisa Dallavira. Right?
Dallavira.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
It's okay. You get three tries.
From Vancouver. From Vancouver. And but again, we want to thank you so much for joining us today and talking a little bit about Cracked. You can see it on Reels, and again, I don't know if it's playing, if it's airing right now, but again, stay tuned to your local listings, Reels, and the show is called Cracked.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for calling in. Wow.
Yeah,
I want to see that Endangered thing.
Yeah, I know.
That sounds really good.
I saw the promotional art for that, and that looks amazing.
And Billy Bob Thornton's in it. Scott Glenn. I mean, some really good. Great cast.
Yeah, and it reminds me of one of my favorite movies. We'll be featuring it here on a future show in the next few weeks. But Frozen, the movie that Frozen is based
on. Frozen? Mm-hmm. About the duck?
But that's what I named him off of. But it's about people on a ski lift.
Oh.
And there's wolves underneath.
Oh.
And so I love those kind of like single setting.
I saw that. Yeah.
Oh.
So,
I thought you were going to say
that.
Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton.
We'll be talking about that one as well.
Oh.
But the song that's going to take us into our break is from Men in Black 3, Back in Time. It's by Pitbull. It's Back in Time. And in the film, when Agent K's Tommy Lee Jones' life and the fate of the planet are put at stake, Agent J, played by Will Smith, travels back in time and teams up with a young Agent K, played by Josh Brolin, to save his partner, the agency, and the future of humankind. I thought that was terrible. As a fan of the Men in Black franchise, or at least the first one,
mm-hmm.
Did you see
I didn't
Men
see
in
the
Black
third
3?
One. No.
Okay. Me neither.
The second one was terrible, and this one was even worse.
The only good one was the first one.
I completely agree.
Hey, what happened to our game?
We don't play the game.
Right, yeah, now. What's going on?
We'll talk about it during the break.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought...
We'll bring back the game at another time.
Did I ever win?
Yes, you did win.
Oh,
once.
I think
that's
I won
why
once.
We're not playing it anymore.
Well, you cheated. You know.
Yeah, but anyway.
It was a cheating.
No,
you
I
broke
said
the space-time continuum when you won.
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Yeah,
went back in time.
Time travel.
You did.
Yeah. Wow. So we're going to take a quick break right now, and this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM. Studios KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, nice. Is that you? Oh, that's like the Marquettes or something. Or what are they called back
you
in
your
the
bass.
Day?
Oh, where's your
bass? Rockettes?
Yeah, the Rockettes.
Where's your boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yes.
Great, come on in here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Black
come on.
Suits.
Boom,
black
boom.
Ties.
Oh, okay.
I'll let you guys
and we'll
that.
We'll be right back. I'm trying to make a billion out of 15 cents. Understand, understood, I'm a hope. Yeah, move and shake a culture. Bury a border, record breaker, won't you?
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business.
Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live at the 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac. And again, I am back from the honeymoon. I'm a little tired, guys.
And you are the one and only.
The one and only.
Dave Isaac.
Yes. And yeah, 11 nights on a ship.
That sounds like a movie.
In the ocean.
And we're in a moment, we're going to talk about 12 Years a Slave.
Ooh, yeah.
But first, let's so that song was One and Only, Chesney Hawkes from Source Code.
Yeah?
Yeah, following our this is a little bit different of a time travel movie. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays... Jake Gyllenhaal. We were talking about him earlier. Plays a soldier who takes part in a secret government program that enables him to assume someone's identity and repeatedly relive the last 8 minutes of that person's life over and over and over. And it sounds boring, but it's really, really interesting. And
Was that a movie?
Yeah,
sounds like Groundhog Day.
Kind of, but it's more of a science fiction kind of twist, and really one of the few science fiction movies that I absolutely loved.
What's it called?
It's called Source Code, and it was directed by...
Oh, I saw that.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name right now.
Yeah, that's sort of interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But he also directed Moon.
Moon.
Yes, Moon.
Moon.
Not the kind of moon that you did.
Sam Rockwell?
Yeah, Sam Rockwell was in that. Yeah. Yeah. So,
Harvest anyway. Moon.
No. Different one.
Oh, Honeymoon.
Blue Moon.
Blue Moon, right. Okay.
Blue Moon.
12 years a Slave. Let's talk about that one.
Okay, yes.
And, you were asking me about this one a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I got a lot of great publicity.
Yes, yes, yes. Right now, they're saying that this could be the Oscar frontrunner.
Very cool.
And About Time, by the way, opened last week in limited release. Now it expanded.
Good.
Same goes for 12 Years a Slave.
It was
in a few theaters. Now it's in a lot more.
Wow.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor, I hope that I did that one right, plays a New York State citizen who in the 1800s is kidnapped and made to work on a plantation in New Orleans. Other stars include Michael Fassbender, Brad Pitt, Benedict Cumberbatch, Sarah Paulson, and Paul Giamatti.
One of my favorite actors.
Yes, yeah. So yep. Really good cast here. It's basically a guy who, he is a free African-American man. He is kidnapped, and he is forced to be a slave, and he's telling everyone, you know, hey, I'm a slave. I'm not a slave. I'm a free man. And they go, yeah, that's what they all say and stuff like that.
Wow.
And they force him to do this manual labor. They whip him. He watches these women be raped in front of him. He watches them be beaten. The bloody pulp. I mean, they whip them terribly, terribly. It is a very, very graphic movie. Very uncomfortable to watch this kind of movie.
And based on a true story?
Yes, it is based on a true story.
Uh-huh.
It's based on the book that was written by this guy that Chiwetel plays.
Whoa.
And, strangely, we don't know what happened to him after a while. We know how this story resolves, but it's like all of a sudden he disappeared. We don't know when he died and all that kind of stuff. Which is really strange considering, you know, this was a book that was published and how did they just lose track of him? But you can read a little bit about that at the end of the movie. But it was directed by Steve McQueen, who also directed Shame with that we talked about a few weeks back on our sex addiction show. And it may be one of the most challenging motion pictures that you will ever see. It's, essentially plays out like a horror flick. I mean, there's a lot of blood in this movie. Mm. I mean, people are getting tortured. People are getting whipped. There's, you know, their backs are raw meat. It is terrible, terrible to watch. Leaves you shielding your eyes from the on-screen horrors and your heart. I was heartbroken over the barbaric brutality that was unfortunately not only real, but also commonplace just a few generations ago.
Yeah.
That was staggering to think of, you know, just a few generations ago. That this was real. This isn't fiction. This is real stuff.
And still, certain groups, if they had their choice, they would still do that.
Right, right.
I won't mention the groups to protect the innocent.
Right, but
to protect the guilty. I don't know.
And after you see this movie, you think, how could anyone think that this is a good thing to do, to treat people like this? And it's extremely excruciating to endure, but essential viewing for its powerful performances. Chiwetel does a great job in this movie, as do some of the other actors. And it's a psychologically commanding depiction of one man's seemingly inconceivable ability to survive through such self-suffering. How this guy did this, how this man that Chiwetel plays was able to survive this horror, and how anyone, you know, any of these slaves were able to put up with this and were able to, you know, I would think that the will to survive would just like collapse.
Well, I know in the trailer it says it wasn't about survival, it was about living, you know, it's more than surviving.
Very true.
Yeah. And which was a nice message.
Yeah. And so I'm giving it a thumbs up.
Yay.
I'm not giving it a breakthrough.
No.
I don't believe that it should be the best of the year. I wouldn't mind if it is named the Oscar for Best Picture. But I feel that it's lacking a little bit of the emotional draw. It's more of a psychological movie, but still a very, very strong movie. And, I don't know how they would have inserted the emotional stuff in there because you don't want it to make it cheesy or anything like that.
But the message is probably a breakthrough in terms of this can never, ever happen again anywhere.
Right. You know,
in the world.
Yeah, and the theme, I don't know how you answer this, but how is it possible that something as inhumane as slavery ever existed? Dave, any thoughts?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Power is one. Greed is a second. Money. Corrupt thinking. Feeling that one is superior over another. That's just not true. All things that are evil and bad in this world leads to control over other human beings. And all opposite thinking, really, this is opposite thinking from spiritual goodness, wholesomeness, and what is inherently right. I mean, this is just intolerable. It should never happen. It did happen, and it should let it be a lesson. There's other atrocities all over the world throughout history. This cannot be tolerated ever. Ever, ever. And if people start thinking in a way that's that wholesome, you know, spiritual type goodness and just I mean, it's hard to believe people. I guess it's not hard to believe because people that really feel inferior, insecure, and they have to put people down to feel good, mm-hmm. that's a problem.
Yes.
That's always a problem, always be a problem. So the key is look inward, make sure that everyone gets their priorities straight. And there's a lot of groups out there that don't.
Absolutely, yes.
And so, it happens subtly in other areas in Washington, D.C. But anyway, didn't say anything about that. But there are a lot of power groups out there, and they seem to control more than they should. Am I right, Mr. Eric?
Yes, whatever you say, Dave.
Yes. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I completely
agree.
It's
horrible.
And yeah, it is terrible, but it is a wonderful movie. I don't know if I could say it's a wonderful movie, but it's a really powerful movie.
That's a good description.
Yeah, powerful
movie. And it's a lesson, and it hopefully it creates more awareness.
Yes.
That this can never be tolerated ever.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And so again, a thumbs up. Go see 12 Years a Slave. We had another thumbs up a little bit earlier, right? That was for About
yeah.
Time. We still have one movie to talk about in our next hour. A little bit later, we'll talk about Thor, The Dark World. And we will also have on, after our break, we will have on an interview with a physicist, Paul Davies.
Ooh.
He's a professor at Arizona State University. He's going to tell us all about time travel. He wrote this book,
wow.
How to Build a Time Machine.
Really?
Yeah. So we're going to
wow.
find out, how real is this to happen?
What if I'm talking, he's on the air, and all of a sudden you see me, like, beam me up, Scotty, and you see me disappear, and I'm in, like, in the 19th century.
That would be pretty amazing.
Wow.
And also we have a surprise to share at
yep.
the end of our show,
huh?
A surprise to share with our listeners. We have a really cool thing that's going to be coming up next Saturday.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to
yeah,
hear that.
Yeah.
And do we have another random enlightenment?
No, not another zombie walk, no.
No, Dave's random enlightenment.
There's actually a Santa walk, though.
Do we have a Dave's
Santa
random
walk? Did he dress up as Santa?
Yes, yes. But there is a Dave's random enlightenment today. We're going to talk about your new marriage and your honeymoon.
Oh.
And the song that's going to take us into our break is from Meet the Robinsons, Little Wonders by Rob Thomas. A brilliant inventor meets a mysterious stranger who whisks him away in a time machine, and together they team up to track down a bad guy in a showdown that ends with an unexpected twist of fate. We're talking all about time travel movies. Did you ever see that animated movie?
No, but I saw the Robinsons Lost in Space. Remember, Eric?
Yes.
What was that? Danger, remember?
That was based on Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, it was?
It was supposed to be in space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, remember Billy Mummy? I remember
yes.
the little kid. He was in a scary Twilight Zone episode. Send that person to the cornfield. Remember that one? That was scary.
Yes.
Yeah, they were human and they become a little doll in the cornfield.
Well, Meet the Robinsons I did not care for. One of the bad Disney movies.
Oh, it was? Oh,
yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
All right, and this is Breakthrough Entertainment live here at 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.